This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
In a modern world of sports, there has always been some form of controversy brewing. Professional football has had its share of takes too. Now, some arguments over 100 years old are still debated to this day. Do you know what happened in the NFL's first controversial moment? Well, we have the details for you with some experts, and it's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Football fans, gather around, because today we're diving into the dusty archives of gridiron history to revisit the tale of trickery, controversy, and a championship stolen, or perhaps claimed. We're talking about the 1921 Staley Swindle, a story that fires up Buffalo Bills fans, makes Chicago fans happy, but it was a swindle or a stroke of genius. Let's find out in today's episode. Let's buckle up our chin straps as we head back a century in time to the NFL when it was known as the APFA, the American Professional Football Association. It was just a fledgling league, not much expected of it by outsiders. Of course, the group that formed it thought it was going to be something special. Now, we'll meet the undefeated Buffalo All-Americans, a team on the cusp of glory, and the cunning Chicago Staleys, who a year earlier played in the city of Decatur, Illinois, led by a young owner named George Halas, a man whose thirst for victory would rewrite history books. And it's a journey that will transport you to the early days of professional football and a time of raw passion and uncharted territory. Was it a cunning strategic move or a blatant disregard for the rules? We'll separate fact from fiction and explore the events that unfolded, leaving Buffalo with a bitter taste in their mouths and Chicago celebrating a championship some believe they never truly earned. So grab your favorite jersey. Any team will do, though Buffalo fans may want to listen closely, and get ready for a journey through the wildest days of professional football, where the lines between competition and chicanery were sometimes blurred. This is a story of the Staley Swindle and a controversy that lives on to this day, some 100 and some years later, that centers around awarding the 1921 championship in the American Professional Football Association, the precursor of the NFL, to a team that maybe didn't deserve it. The 1921 professional football is in its nascent stages. The American Professional Football Association laying the groundwork for the National Football League, which would happen a year later. The Buffalo All-Americans, a dominant team with an undefeated record, and the Chicago Staleys, soon to be the Chicago Bears in that same year that the NFL started being called the NFL, are at the center of a brewing controversy. And this is the story of the Staley Swindle, a dispute that casts a long shadow over the Buffalo sports history. The Football Learning Academy's resident historian and founder, Ken Crippen, shared this next piece with us a few years ago, back in 2021, on the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, about the very odd scenario that came about in 1921.
Well, in 1921, I would say that's probably the most interesting season that Buffalo had. They did come in second, but there's kind of an interesting story associated with that. So the Decatur Staleys became the Chicago Staleys, and then the following years when they became the Chicago Bears. So both of them were the strongest teams. Buffalo had a record of 9-1-2, and Chicago had a record of 9-1-1. But you kind of have to go back a little bit from the beginning of the season to talk about some of the things that happened. One was Buffalo scheduled some what they call quote-unquote exhibition games at the end of the year. So they were 8-0-2 at the end of the year. They thought that they had won the championship, everything was great, but they figured they would try to earn a little bit more money and scheduled a couple of exhibition games. problem is that they did win the first exhibition game. It was against Akron. The second one was against Chicago, and they lost that game. The issue comes in is they beat Chicago earlier in the season, but then lost to Chicago at the end. So back in those days, the tiebreakers were, it was usually the second game they considered counted more than the first. So Chicago thought that they had the edge because they beat Buffalo the second game. Then you also add into it that when you sum up the total amount of points played between the two games, Chicago had 16 points and Buffalo had 14 points. So again, Chicago said that, okay, we're the champions because we outscored you in the two games that we played. Now, keep in mind back then that they didn't determine the championship on the field. They determined the championship in a vote in the league meetings in the offseason. So that was the case that Chicago made, was that we beat them in the second game, which counts more than the first, and we outscored them when you look at the other two games. Buffalo claimed that the last two games were just exhibition games, and so they shouldn't count in the standings. Buffalo was undefeated, and so therefore they should be the champions. Another wrinkle comes in the fact that there really was no official end to the season. It's not like today where it's a 17-game season. You have specific playoff games, and that's it. That's how you determine your champion. Back then, a lot of times teams would end up playing a lot of lesser teams at the end of the season just to kind of pad their results. So when they went into the offseason voting, their record would look better, and they'd have a better chance of moving up in the standings. That's essentially what happened, is that Chicago ended up putting in some scrub games toward the end of the season just to make the record look better. They had these arguments that we had already talked about with Buffalo, stating that, well, we beat the second best team there in Buffalo, so that makes us the champion. Well, the league agreed, and they made Chicago the champion. So obviously Buffalo was not happy with that, but that's the way the league stood. And regardless of how many times Buffalo has gone back to the NFL to try to get their championship reinstated, I guess, or instated in the first place, all those arguments failed. And George Halas wins his first NFL championship back in 1921.
Another great historian in the honor of Buffalo football history, Greg Tranter, who's wrote many a book on Buffalo football and Buffalo sports in general, has added this to the story of the 1921 on our show just a couple years ago.
In 1921, Buffalo goes through what they thought was the regular season undefeated. And they were crowned champions, at least by the press. And then the owner, Frank McNeil, the owner of the Buffalo All-Americans, agreed to play what he thought were two exhibition games at the end of the season. They beat the Akron Pros one day, and the next day they played the Chicago Staleys and lost the game 10-7. At that point, George Halas, who was the owner of the Staleys, claimed that that game counted and that the Staleys should be champions because if you included those two games, the Staleys had a better winning percentage than Buffalo did. They were 9-1-1 and Buffalo was 9-1-2. And he also claimed that the Staleys won by more points. They had won 10-7 earlier in the year. Buffalo had won by 1 point. So they had a point differential advantage. So he basically went to the rest of the owners and lobbied to be champions of the league. And in the spring of the following year, the owners voted the Staleys NFL champions. It is now known as the Staley swindle because of the back office maneuverings of George Halas. And McNeil, the Buffalo All-Americans owner, fought that decision for the rest of his life, up until all the way till 1961. And then his wife carried the banner after that until she died. But the Staleys are still considered NFL champions to this day.
So as you can see, the All-Americans boasted a remarkable season, finishing that record with that 9 wins, and their only blemishes were ties, a concept unfamiliar to modern audiences, but common back then. The Staleys, led by the player coach George Halas, trailed closely with a 7-1 record, their only loss coming at the hands of Buffalo on Thanksgiving Day. However, Halas was a shrewd businessman, hungry for victory, and he was really good at talking others into seeing his way. Controversy lies on the lack of formal playoff system. With no clear path to determine a champion, the APFA operated under an ambiguous structure, relying on their owners and a vote at the end of the year. It's probably more like a popularity contest. And capitalizing on this ambiguity, Halas challenged Buffalo to a rematch, proposed that winning take-all game at Chicago Cubs Park, and Buffalo naively agreed under the assumption that the regular season record would hold weight and that this was yet just an exhibition game to earn money for their players. The rematch, played on December 4, 1921, was a close contest. Chicago emerged victorious by the score of 10-7. However, the game's legitimacy as a championship decider was highly contested. Buffalo argued it was the regular season record should have been the deciding factor, while Chicago pointed to the win in the extra game, and it counted, they said. The fledgling APFA, lacking established protocols, ultimately awarded the championship to the Staleys. This decision left a bitter taste in the mouths of the Buffalo fans, even 100 years later, and continues to be debated by historians. The term Staley Swindle was coined by our friend Jeffrey Miller in highlighting the perceived manipulation by Halas and the unfairness of the Buffalo endured. The consequences for Buffalo were severe. The team never recovered its early dominance, struggling the rest of the decade before folding in 1929. The Staleys, well, they turned into the Bears, as we talked about earlier, and went on to some championship glory and still surviving in the NFL today. They became a symbol of Buffalo's sporting misfortunes, the All-Americans, a constant reminder of a stolen championship in NFL lore, and something we can still talk about today. So we hope you really enjoyed this great piece of football history. We enjoyed presenting it to you, enjoyed rekindling and listening to those takes of Ken Crippen and Greg Tranter. We thank them both for their contributions back a few years ago to help us make this, on the Staley Swindle, a great piece of history, a great story, and a great debate that still carries on and will probably carry on for the next 100 years of NFL history as well. Till next time, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.